let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21. Verse number 12. Proverbs 21, verse number 12. And we'll go ahead and get started by just reading that verse, and then we'll have a word of prayer. Proverbs 21, 12. The righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked, but God overthroweth the wicked for their wickedness. Amen. God, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this opportunity to meet together. I pray, God, you'd help us, Lord, with this passage. God, might it be just a blessing, Lord, as we just seek to study and to know this passage more thoroughly. Examine us with it. Help us, Lord. I pray you'd even challenge us, God, and might we be moved to not only consider the house of the wicked, but to consider our own standing and what we have wisely considered and what we have not. God, discern these things for us tonight, and we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, again, the righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked. We're going to look at that first part here to begin. The righteous man, typically when this phrase is used, it is by context absolutely referring to the saved man, one who has the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. We recognize that we don't stand in our own righteousness. Matter of fact, if we think we stand, we need to take heed lest we fall, right? But we do understand that we have traded our wickedness for Christ's righteousness, right? At salvation, we deserve help, but Christ took that payment upon himself, and so he imputes to our account righteousness. We're justified, if you will, and so we do stand in his righteousness. When God looks at us, he sees Christ's righteousness. Otherwise, we would not have any standing before God. And so the righteous man, typically when it's used, it is stated and utilized in that way. Look over at 2 Peter. I'll show you what I mean. 2 Peter chapter number 2, in reference to Lot, God uses the phrase righteous man. And if we know anything about Lot, from his separation from his uncle Abraham and all that, cast his eyes on a fertile field there, no doubt looking out for what was best for him. And we know that he got pulled into Sodom. We understand that his sons-in-laws mocked him. It just seemed like it was just a bad scenario. It just didn't seem good throughout the whole thing. So we don't really have anything in those texts in the Old Testament that would indicate that Lot was righteous in practicality. We don't have that. Matter of fact, he seemingly just went along to get along, if you will. He might not have been engaged in some of the nefarious activities of the townsmen, but at the same time, he sat in the gate and was seemingly okay with some of those things. We don't know for sure, but nothing in scriptures would indicate that he was being persecuted himself because of his stands that he took. And so, and we know that Sodom definitely had really progressed down the line to where they were definitely to the point that the Lord would overthrew them, if you will. All right, so in 2 Peter 2, 7, though, it says, and delivered just Lot, so we know he was justified, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. So Lot seems as if daily he was vexed with it. It was pressing against him, the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. And then it says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. And so we understand in that text that the unjust were those that were lost in Sodom, and there was an opportunity given as, of course, Abraham worked to whittle down the number as low as he could to see if God would spare the whole city for the righteous sake. And we know the number got whittled down to 10. There wasn't 10 righteous, but there would have been 3, right? We know that Lot's wife was out, but then turned to stone, so not really sure about her. But we know there was 3, though, the 2 daughters and Lot. So anyway, nonetheless, the phrase righteous man, the just here, is referring to someone that was saved. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another, pray for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so righteous man, they're referring to one that's been saved. And so we have that. And then there's some others. One other in the New Testament, 1 Timothy 1. And in verse number 8, 1 Timothy 1:8, just showing this because it's not just the righteous man from Proverbs 21 that that is doing rightly, it's a heart issue. It's in heart. Matter of fact, the whole context there is considering, and we consider in our mind. And so this is referring to a righteous man in heart, one who is righteous in soul, if you will. That mind, that emotional aspect, the consideration aspect, the thought aspect, that's the righteous we're talking about. But in 1 Timothy chapter 1, and in verse number 8, it says, "But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man." And that is absolutely referring to one that is righteous in heart, one that's been justified. The law is not made for that one, right? The law, the purpose of the law is to convince us of our sinful condition. But a righteous man's already been convinced of that. It says, "But for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust," the gospel there. So the what this passage is referring to, that the law itself is not made for those of us that are born again. The law was made for us as sinners to convince us of our sinful state, right? So that we would see our need and then turn to Jesus Christ. And that's the whole intent. There is a passage in Ezekiel 3 I'd like to turn to very, very quickly. Ezekiel 3 and verse number 20. And the phrase there also, a righteous man, is used. And it's an interesting context. And just kind of show again something here from Ezekiel 20. And it says, again, "When a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness." Now, it's a righteous man, I would say, in heart, turns from his practical righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him. By the way, that's what happens for us that are saved. If we try to live an unrighteous life being saved, then God moves upon that and will help it not to work out. Amen. It's a stumbling block so that we understand that we have a God in heaven that loves us, our Father, and that it's not good. It's not wise for us to live in that manner. So he casts a stumbling block for him. He shall die. At times there is a sin unto death for the Christian, right? If we're going to continue to live in a wrong way, then God can remove us. "Because thou hast not given him warning." Now, this is the whole thought here in Ezekiel. "He shall die in his sins." And so this whole passage is referring to the fact that we need to, if we recognize that, we need to warn somebody who has who is righteous and is doing wrong. We need to warn them. It's on us to do so. "And so he shall die in his sin." In his sin there is referring to his unconfessed sin, and there is loss of reward for him. I don't think any of us want to go out into eternity as a Christian living in sin, living in open rebellion towards God. I don't think that's a wise thing for us to pass out into eternity with. And it says, "And his righteousness, which he hath done, shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand." So again, thine hand referring to the fact that we did not warn, but that righteousness not being remembered, that's going to refer back to loss of reward. So we can lose reward. We can lose reward for what good has been done just because we turned from it. The old thought, is it better to end well or finish well? I'm sorry, end well or start well, right? Guess those other two were the same thing. Would it be better to finish the race well or start and then not finish well? The reality is we want to finish well. Amen? You started getting saved, but you want to finish well. Amen. Paul talks about running that race with patience, finishing his course. Amen. We want to finish well. That's that faith that God has given to us to with that enduring aspect. Amen. There's always a question about our faith to begin with if we turn from it. Amen. Or seemingly turn from it. And so we want to finish well. Finish that race. And it goes on to say in verse 21, "Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul, referring to doing your part. And Ezekiel, in the context there, of course, they're in captivity at this point, and dealing with those who, by faith, in a sense, who were brought into the condemnation of the land, like, by the way, like where we're at today. I mean, we are in the midst of a perverse generation today, and yet we are righteous. And so we're going to have a lot of hard decisions to make, right? And just like Lot did, it's a very similar context in where Lot was at. He was a righteous individual, but he was dwelling among, he was vexed from day to day with their unlawful deeds. And he was vexed in hearing and in seeing. And so we're going to have to make those choices. And then we need to help keep each other accountable as things slip, if you will, right? And the challenge there is to not grow weary with that, but to do our best to live right in the sight of God. If we choose not to, and we allow our righteous, practical righteousness, by the way, our practical righteousness is important to God. Amen? It's not just, well, I'm saved, it's all good. No, there's a practical side to this that is very telling about what's going on in your heart, right? And so we want to help each other to have that full reward when we get to glory, and not to have that shame that will be carried with us not ending well, or excusing our own practical righteousness in this day. So we need to warn those. And so again, though, in this context, there's two things going on. There is that righteous man saved, and then there's that practical righteousness, the righteous deeds. And so there is a distinction made there. But again, righteous man is referring to the fact that this is one who knows God. Proverbs 13:5 says, a righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. But a righteous man hateth lying. Why? Because a righteous man loves the truth. And you can't love the truth and love lying at the same time. Amen? We are beholden to the truth. It was the truth that set us free. It made us free. And so we love the truth, right? God's people love truth. Amen? And so that's noted here. Righteous man hateth lying. Why? Because he loves the truth. Those two are not able to be mixed. And then in Proverbs 10:11 says, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. And from Matthew 12:34, it says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so a righteous man, or a mouth of a righteous man being a well of life, how can that be? Well, because as a righteous man, he has been given life. And since life exists within from God, then his mouth, or verbalizing what's on his heart, also should be life-giving. And so if there's no life-giving words coming from you, that is a problem. Amen? Because a mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. That's who we are. We are life-givers. We speak the truths that bring about life in people's existence, in their lives. Amen? And that is a blessing. So again, righteous man here referring to the fact that their soul, their inner man is righteous, then there's something that can come out from that also that is righteous. So I believe, for the most part, when we look at this phrase, righteous man, not that there couldn't be some exceptions to this. Typically speaking, when we see that phrase, righteous man, we're talking about someone who is one who's born again, one that knows God. And by the way, Old Testament, New Testament, people were saved the same way. It was always by faith, never by works, right? It's always by faith. And so there, Hebrews 11 actually details all kinds of people, Old Testament, that had faith, that knew God. They were righteous, amen? And even Lot, Old Testament. Noah, he was a righteous man. There's many Old Testament. Rahab was righteous, amen? And so anyway, there's a number of people, Old Testament, that God makes sure we understand these were saved people. Amen. And very important to gather that. There are some differences, old to new, but as far as how one gets saved and how one is kept saved, it's the same. It's always by faith in the promises of God, specifically referring to Jesus Christ. And so the righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked. So we're going to build this just a little bit. The righteous man wisely considereth. Two words there, wisely considereth, comes from one word, Old Testament, in the Hebrew there, and it means circumspectly and intelligently seeking to understand. Amen. It means to guide your thought processes wittingly for the purpose of understanding, right? And so a righteous man wisely considereth, amen? We don't want to live in ignorance. We don't want to be ignorant about things, amen? We have been given the opportunity by being born again, eyes opened, amen? I sometimes describe my going from lost to saved as I used to see in kind of like black and white, and now I see in color, amen? Things have come alive, right? And that's true for all of us that have been saved, where before I was blind, and now I see, right? That's scripture of a description of a blind man coming to sight, right? And that's salvation. But the wise man doesn't just see, he wisely considereth in that sight, amen? The righteous man wisely considereth. Look over to Nehemiah chapter number 8, and in verse number 13. So wisely considereth means to seek understanding by the truth, to seek understanding. We're going to look, we're going to observe, and we are going to wisely consider. Nehemiah 8:13. On the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. In Nehemiah's day, they were now out of captivity. They were put back into their land by Ezra being there and all that. All three installments, for the most part, were accomplished. At this particular point, the wall's built. So definitely everybody's there that's there. And so they are now desiring. They want to hear the law. They just went through, not them in particular. Some of them were born in captivity and all that, but their nation had just went through 70 years of captivity, and they were exiled because of that. They were put out, if you will, out of their city, out of their nation, and brought into Babylon. And so now on the other side, they are restored to their land. The wall is built. They've been through troublous times to get that done. And now they're interested in the truth. Now let's hear the truth. Let's let Ezra, not everybody had their own copy in that day, right? So let's bring out the priest, the man of God, to read the word of God so that we can wisely consider why we just went through what we went through. And there was a great, at this stage, there was a great revival of the word of God, of understanding. Now, I will say it didn't last as long as it should have, right? But here there was a revival because they had just been through some things that they're like, you know what? We didn't have to go through that. Because we had the truth, we just weren't wisely considering what we were going through. We weren't looking around and judging it based on truth. And so that means we had to go through some things, right? There was a stumbling block, if you will, placed before them called Babylon. Amen. And they were reduced from their pride down to a very humbled state in that captivity. And so it forced them, it caused them to wisely consider. We don't have to go through those hard times to wisely consider. We can wisely consider today. We can wisely consider now. We can understand that there is great opportunity for us if we will not turn a blind eye to things, but we'll understand that we need to be in the scriptures and proving all things as 1 Thessalonians directs us. Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Let us not just ignore everything going on and act like everything's going to be okay. No. Do you realize that if you as a born-again believer are going down a path that's not right, God will cast a stumbling block before you for your good, for your help. He will cause you to have to consider. Amen. It would be better to consider before that happens. Amen. Proverbs 21:16 says, "The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead," amen, wandering out of the way of understanding. Now, you and I as believers, we won't necessarily remain there, but we can be there for a time. If you've been saved, God's going to pull you back. There's no doubt about it. But at the same time, why would we want to wander out of our way and even have any time congregating with the dead, amen? We shouldn't desire to congregate with the lost of this world. There's no understanding there, amen? We should want to minister there, not congregate and have things in common there, but to go alongside and help rescue. I love that song, rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from hell and the grave. We have words of life now. We have the ability to help now. Let us consider these things. To seek God's wisdom in what they see and experience, that is wisely considering. To seek God's wisdom in not what they, I'm sorry, but what we see and experience, that is wisely considering. So when we look around our world today, let us ask those questions. Why do we see the apathetic? It seems like when you look out, you're like, what are people thinking? Well, wisely consider that. Don't just dismiss it. Why are we seeing what we're seeing in the national scene, the world scene, locally, with people we know, the craziness that exists around so many things today? Why are we seeing it? Wisely consider these things. Why am I not finding myself as frightened as others are frightened about what's going on today? Wisely consider. There's a reason. It's not because you're better than anybody. It's not because I'm better than anybody else. There's a reason. We're all made after the same mold. We're all made in the image of God. So wisely consider these things. Look over at Ephesians 5. We need to consider all sides and angles of a matter. As a Christian, we need to understand that before we were saved, we were locked into our own biased view of things. But now as a Christian, we not only can see things from our perspective, we can see things from God's perspective. We now have the mind of Christ, the Bible says. And so now I can step back from things and study the Word of God, and I can see things from every perspective if I'm open to it. Unfortunately, a lot of times we're not open to it. We're biased, just like the world, in reference to how we want things to be or in reference to how we see things. Amen? But how I see things from me is totally limited. Amen? I don't have the eyes of God in my physical body. I don't have that. So I'm locked into my perspective. But your perspective matters. Sometimes our differences are nothing more than difference in perspective of the same thing, like the Gospels. A lot of people really strike at the Gospels and say, hey, there's things in there that are against each other. They prove that the Word of God is not right because this person reveals what he saw in this event differently than this person. But that's exactly what we would expect to see if the Scripture was honest, just like any courtroom or anything that we're taught. Everybody sees things from a little bit different perspective, and it's okay. As a matter of fact, it's a good thing. Amen. Now, error is not right. But if we're looking at something from a different perspective and it is a right perspective as God has indicated, then praise the Lord for it. Amen. But we need to learn to consider all sides and angles of a matter. Why does that saint have a problem with something you do? If somebody has a problem with something you're doing, you may not have a problem with, but ask the question, why do they? Amen. These are questions that we ask, right? Why does that person not have a problem with something that the Bible directly says is wrong? Why? These are questions we consider. We should always be asking. It's like I was told growing up, you shouldn't ask that. You shouldn't ask those questions. Why? God says ask. Wisely consider all things. Wisely consider. Ask the questions. Diligently search these things out. Ephesians 5 and in verse number 10. Ephesians 5, verse 10. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Awake that sleepest. Sometimes we fall asleep to things. We fall asleep to what's going on around us. And God is saying, wake up, amen, arise from the dead. Don't dwell there. Christ shall give thee light. By the way, the older I get, the more light I think I need, amen, to see and to discern things and all that, Christ will give us light. See then that ye walk circumspectly. Walk with your eyes open, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So we want to walk circumspectly. We want to walk in such a way that we're seeing things for what they are. We live in a very, very, very deceptive day. We live in a day where the media picks and chooses what it's going to report, typically based on politics, based on a political view. There's a lot of things going on that we never hear about because certain people who have the ability to disseminate information have said, not going to speak on that because if I do, that goes against what I believe here or there or wherever. So there's such a slant today in so many things. Amen. We want to be very careful. By the way, we don't want all of our news coming from the same source, one source all the time. Even just the conservative sources, be very careful. We want to walk circumspectly, see what's going on, amen. Not be locked into one political mindset or one viewpoint, amen. Learn to gather information and let God discern that information for you, amen. This passage goes on and it says in verse number 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And by the way, I love this verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Amen. The whole point there is that just that little thing right there, drunk with wine, a lot of people see no problem with it. Amen. The Bible says, I got a better idea. Why don't you be filled with the Spirit instead? Amen. And by the way, wherein is excess? Excess there specifically means, if you look that up, there's no salvation in it. There's no help in it. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, literally means be not drunk with wine, where is no help, where there's no salvation. People that have problems and they go to the bottle and drink, and by the time it's all said and done, nothing has been fixed. And typically things are just made worse. There's no help in it. Amen. There's nothing there. There's nothing excess there to help you. Amen. Instead, don't go that route. Consider. Have you ever stopped to consider the life of a drunkard? Consider it. Amen. Consider the life of the drunkard. It's not good. Amen. Look over at Proverbs 23 and in verse number 19. I grew up around those, and some of you all did as well, that drank very heavily. Amen. That's the environment I grew up around. And I want you to know that as at this point, considering it, I look back and I'm thinking, man, that is not the life for me. Now, honestly, growing up, lost, I didn't know any better. I followed that same pattern. That's all I knew, right? But now from this perspective, looking on, I'd have to be a moron to go down that route. Why? Because my eyes have been open to what that life brings. Amen. Anybody know a drunkard, someone who's constantly drinking, constantly indulging in alcohol? Anybody here know one that you want your life to be like? No, does anybody know a drunkard? You're like, I sure would like to be like that person. Okay, then consider that. Wisely consider that. People say, I don't see anything wrong with drinking alcohol sometimes. That's the new generation. The new generation slogan is, I don't see anything wrong with, you put it, fill in the blank. Let me give you a verse. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. What part of that verse do you want your life patterned after? Say, but I want to do it. You may. The Bible just says, wisely consider what the Bible has to say about it and then what you observe. Open your eyes. Look around. Look at it from every angle. Ask the questions. Why are people drinking? Don't just be like, it's just wrong. Done. true, but wisely consider it. Why is it wrong? How does it help? Is there ever a time that biblically and all that we see alcohol being used? We do see it used medicinally. There are some decent, some good aspects from that perspective. But why are people drinking today? They're drinking to escape. They're drinking to escape their problems. Okay. Does it help? Bible says it doesn't help. Well, then what does help? Be not drunk with wine, words, sex, but be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit helps. What does the Spirit do? He leads and guides us in all truth. Wisely consider these things. Don't just jump on something because it's wrong. Why is it wrong? It's wrong. Anna, well, why is it wrong? It's wrong. I mean, sometimes Christians just get they don't know why, they just know it's wrong. And that's fine to start that way. Sure, the Bible says it's wrong, that's fine, but study it out. Why? Psychotropic drugs, what do they do? People that are on Prozac and these other you know, drugs that are there to help depression, all that. Why do I believe it's wrong? Because I know what it does. It messes with the serotonin levels in the frontal lobe of your brain. It used to be that they would take a poker to give a frontal lobotomy, literally would take an iron stick and they'd run it up and they would actually destroy brain cells in your frontal lobe. That's what they used to do. You say, well, how did that help? Well, the frontal lobe is where your emotions are at, right? And so they would do that so that you would become less emotional. Whoa, whoa, whoa. What do these drugs do? They say you're bipolar, meaning you're moving from one end of one pole, you're like depressed. Other pole, you're elated. You're really excited. And so you jump back and forth. Let me just say, we all do that. Sometimes, woohoo! Other times, man, I'm bummed. You're bipolar. So am I. Here's what a person looks like that's not. They have no emotion. They can't get happy. They can't get sad. Oh, that's really good news. Oh. Huh. That's fine. I think I'll go to work now. Time to eat. Food's kind of bland, but it really don't matter. Is that who you want to be? That's what those drugs do to you. No longer bipolar. Woohoo! Accomplished. That's what they do. How do you know that? I've studied it. I've wisely considered these things. They literally burn bridges in your mind so that synapses can no longer jump from one to the other. And so you no longer feel these things. Is that what you want? So anybody ever touch a hot burner on your stove? Man, I have. How long did you leave your hand there?
Not very long.
Not very long, like that. So the problem is that you felt your hand burning. Is that right? That's the problem? Well, then just cut your nerves. If you cut your nerves, you'll no longer feel your hand burn. Did you fix the problem?
No.
Your hand's still burning. Now you smell it. Well, get a nose plug. Just plug your nose. Let your hand burn. Is that how we deal with problems?
Yeah.
Wisely consider it. That's how the medical field and many of these things says that's how you deal with your problems. Do you see what I'm saying? We're Christians. We can ask these questions. We can go to the Word of God. We're not going to be offended and hurt because we find the right answers to it. We problem solve. If it affects my life, I praise God for it. Because I've wisely considered. Most people today can't wisely consider anything.
They're stuck on a path, and I believe it. Why do you believe it? Because I believe it. Why? Have you considered it? No, I don't need to. I know. How do you know? I just know. Quit questioning me. And then they get mad. And never wisely considered anything. If what you believe is right, it ought to pass the muster of wisely considering it. Amen. It should. We shouldn't be afraid. This is what righteous men do. We ask the questions. Amen. And that's how we seek it. Praise the Lord. So anyway, the drunkard, we had mentioned that. Listen to this in Proverbs 23:19. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. By the way, the Bible never says to follow your heart. Wisely consider it. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It just feels right. Is that the only thing you're acting upon? Is your heart wants to go that way? That's it? You have nothing else? Not smart. Wisely consider what you're fixing to do. Now, this passage says, guide your heart. Verse 20. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. He's connecting winebibbers and the gluttonous. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty. So the Bible says, if you go that route, you're going to waste a bunch of money on it. I can tell you, for the people that are looking forward to going out on Friday night, Saturday night, and they go out partying, and they go out drinking, they drop hundreds of dollars drinking at the bar that night, if not more. And that's just if they're doing alcohol, if they're doing other stuff. There are literally people, let's pick on Hollywood, who make millions of dollars a year who sniff it all up their nose in cocaine. Is that what you want? If you don't go that route. Wisely consider it. Don't go hang out with those dead people. Right? That's what the Bible's saying. It says, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Well, you might need to wake up. Amen. Hearken unto thy father that begot thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. That's good advice. Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. We must learn to wisely consider things and not get upset and not try to protect something that we want to be true. You may want something to be true, but the avenue to prove its truth is not you wanting it to be true. Some things we believe need to be squashed. They need to be disproved. You hanging on to error doesn't help you. Error will lead you astray. Error will cause you to make decisions that aren't right. We as Christians don't want to hang on to error, even if we want it to be right. We want to walk circumspectly in that and figure it out, because you being wrong in something will only hurt you and those around you in the end. Is that the life you want? No, of course not. Okay, let's go to the word house, because our passage says, the righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked. The house of the wicked. The house is the place that one dwells. It's where you live. Proverbs 24 and verse 30. Proverbs 24 and verse 30. Isn't studying life just amazing? I love it. I love studying life, people's lives, the decisions they make. I probably enjoy it way too much. And it's not because I enjoy watching people fail. I enjoy watching how consistent things are in God's creation. Absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. It's wonderful. House, Proverbs 24, verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles, had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. That's what we're talking about. Here's this guy. He goes by a field of a slothful person, someone that's lazy, doesn't take care of his stuff. And by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. No understanding, slothful. And it was all grown over. Everything was being choked out, nothing producing good stuff. The walls were broke down. People could come in, ransack it, whatever, get whatever they wanted. He says, I saw and considered it. I looked upon it and received instruction. By the way, you don't have to experience most things for you to get instruction. You don't have to personally experience life's pitfalls for you to know certain things are wrong. Open your eyes and look around at everybody else's experiences. Those are free for you. Amen? Look around and see what's happening and consider it. That's the way you want to learn. You don't want to have to go through some of these things because it'll cost you dearly. Amen? Praise the Lord that all these opportunities exist around us to consider. He considered it well. I looked upon it, received instruction, verse 33. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Do you know that what we're hearing a lot, I'm hearing this a lot from different people, is that the younger generation, they don't work. They don't even show up on time for work. Literally, like Micah and I are out there, and I'm showing them how to do the HVs. And they look at, I'm telling you, he'll tell you this truth. People look at him and be like, is he learning the trade? Yeah. Man, that's not very common today. He's young. Yeah. That's not true for all. There is this thing today, people don't want to work. People just want to sit at home and do nothing. They don't want to work. You're not going to get ahead that way. If you think you are going to get ahead by receiving your $300, $400, $500 from the government who's paying you to stay home and not work, if you think that's going to get you ahead, crazy. Number one, it produces a mentality in you that isn't healthy. And number two, you can't do much on a few $100 a week. Amen? Consider it. Consider the ends of these things. But this is just one. Went by, saw, he considered. By the way, I'll give you a couple areas to wisely consider. It was mentioned today a couple times, the dating game, the relationship aspect of things. Always a touchy subject. All I'm going to say to you is, consider it. Study it in the Word of God. I have. That's amazing. Study the topic of dating and how, by the way, it's right for girls and guys to desire at some point to be married. That's a good desire. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth the favor from the Lord. So wisely consider what the Bible says about the right way for that. A lot of y'all at that stage, wisely consider it. What happens when a saved person marries a lost person? Does that end well? Anybody know of a situation where, and that ended really good? We have experience. And I'm laughing only because we ignore these experiences that people have. And we say this, it'll be different for me. No, it won't. No. Wisely consider it. And by the way, how about two lukewarm Christians, not really serious about things? How well does that work out?
It doesn't.
It doesn't work out well. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Study it out. Figure these things out. Don't go into it unwisely. Look at it and study it before you get yourself into something. Don't study it. You can study it after if you want. I mean, that's fine, if you, that last resort. But it's better to study this stuff out beforehand. And don't just get mad at me because I preach against dating and all that. By the way, if you get upset with me for preaching against modern day dating and you've never looked into it yourself, you're very foolish. What do you base your opinion on? What you want? The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? What are you basing your opinion on? Well, everybody else is doing it. I know. And if you look at the end result, it ain't good. Wisely consider it. Does that make sense? That's what this passage is encouraging. We mention alcohol and drugs. Before you go down that road, you better wisely consider it. Talk to some of us that have been down that road, and but by the grace of God, we're pulled out of that mess. Amen. I absolutely did it ignorantly. I didn't know any better. I never heard the gospel one time until I was 22 years old. That was just the life I was given, and I followed it. But I'm so glad that someone invited me to church and I got to hear the truth. But you all know the truth. It's a little different for you. Amen. How about education? K through 12, post-secondary education, meaning college. Just go because everybody goes. Is that? No. Wisely consider it. What do you want? I mean, John C. has a great testimony about putting your children under that type of teaching. Is that wise? Sometimes we don't have another choice. I'm not saying we always do. I'm just saying wisely consider the Word of God and your options. Wisely consider it. Don't lament. Don't whine and cry about where you're at. Just wisely consider it. What type of education is best for you personally, for those you have authority over? You wisely consider these things. Ask the questions. And now you got this stuff coming down, the CRT stuff that's coming down, and these other, whether the 1619 project and all this other stuff happening. And by the way, the whole sexualization of America, some school districts as early as kindergarten has classes for that. Wisely consider it. Is that what God says works best for you and I? Wisely consider it. I'm just saying, because I'm not saying anything more than just I'm urging you to consider it. Spiritual truth in a natural world. A lot of people want to separate church from reality, church from life. You can't. They're inseparable. Every natural problem has a spiritual solution. Every physiological problem, there is a spiritual component that will lead to the solution. Everyone. Amen. Wisely consider it. And there's so many others, but for sake of time, let's just go through, because we have the second part of the verse to go over here very quickly this evening. Proverbs 21:12. The righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked. That's the place that the wicked live. Wisely consider. Don't just look at someone who's a professed atheist, they're lost, and they have a nice car. Don't just look at that life and say, that's it. I want to be like them because I want that nice car. They might have a nice car, but what about the rest of their life? How's their marriage? Are they heavily in debt? They have ulcers forming because of the anxiety that they live on? What kind of drugs are they on to cope? How's their children doing? How's their life? Consider the whole house. Don't just consider one part. Consider the whole thing. You see, that's what we're called to do. Amen? The righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked, but God overthroweth the wicked for their wickedness. Well, this is interesting. Bible says you want to consider because they're being overthrown. They are being overthrown. That means to be subverted. That's what overthrown means. The wicked, those that are ungodly, those that are morally wrong, for their wickedness, for the bad they do. Jeremiah 2, look there very quickly. Jeremiah 2 and in verse 11. Before you start envying sinners, you better consider the whole thing. For those that say, man, I just can't wait until I get out on my own so I can do what I want to do. You better wisely consider that. Yeah. Number one, life is hard. Life is very hard. Do you know people that you go, you run out, you rent a place to live? Do you know that the landlord wants to be paid every month? What do you mean? I should be able to live there. I mean, I've been living in my parents' home. They've never charged me. That landlord ain't your parent. And they don't love you. You might have a good landlord. That's good. For the most part, they ain't going to love you like your parent did. They ain't. Do you know that for you to have your coffee maker work, you have to have power? And do you know that the power company wants you to pay for it? Can you believe it? All I want's coffee, and all they want's your money. Pay up, buddy. Water, pay up. You need to go to the hospital, do you? Doctor? Everybody. Oh, you want a vehicle? You want freedom, but a car. Hey, first to admit, I sure do like running out there, jumping in my truck and heading down the road. But you know what I did on Friday for 8 hours? I worked on my truck. And by the way, it cost me a lot to work on my truck that day. You want that car, do you? Do you know that it's required to have insurance? You have to have insurance. You got to plate that thing on and on and on. And do you know just driving means now you are susceptible to being pulled over and given a license, possibly go to jail? Before you drove a car, you were never going to be charged with vehicular homicide. Do you know if while you're texting on that phone, listen up, and you run over a pedestrian, do you know you're going to jail? Well, why are you talking about that? Because wisely consider means I look at everything I'm getting myself into because of what I'm engaged in. I'm wisely considering the whole thing. Do you know you can never become a drunkard if you don't first take a drink? Wisely consider it. I'm just saying, look at the whole thing and stop saying it'll be different for you. It ain't going to be different for you. It just isn't. Amen. Jeremiah 2, verse 11. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Before you run off and throw everything away that you know is right, at any stage of life, you better wisely consider. Amen. You better make sure that you are not committing two evils. Forsaking the fountain of living water and then hewing out your own cistern that holds no water. This holds water. You can count on it. Right here. What we hew out to replace this holds no water. Amen? And you, even as God's people, can do it. Amen? There's so many things that could be said on this. Consider the life of the one who gets bitter towards God. Consider the life of the one that's easily offended and gets bitter. Is it possible for a person to hang on to their bitterness and it work out for them? How do we know that? Beware, lest a root of bitterness springing up in you or springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. If you'll, as soon as you start to consider that person offended me, they hurt my feelings, they said something I didn't like, consider where this is heading. It's just forgive them. You got to forgive. You have to. Why? Because the other road, it's too costly. You can't go that route. Amen? Ladies, consider the wife that's rebellious towards her husband. Does it work out? Does it create a harmonious situation for you? Sure, you might do your best to make him miserable, but are you happy in the process? No. Consider it. For the man, the husband, that doesn't love his wife or lead his wife right, consider where that leads. Consider what the home looks like where the husband's not leading right or loving right or spending enough time. Consider it. Does it end well? Does it? No. Consider these things. Young people, consider in reference to a young person and the things they love and who they love, loving the Lord, where they're letting their heart run to, where their mind goes on. Consider what it does to a young person across the board. Social media. Right, wrong, or indifferent. And by the way, it's different for all of us. There's a lot of dangers in social media. Consider what it does to people. Just consider it. Makes a lot of people very narcissistic. Yeah. Very self-centered. It's all about you. You'll be in a whole room with other people. Nobody else matters but that. It takes the focus away from people. You're posting things and you have to field responses, all of that. That's your life. Just consider it. Maybe you have considered it and you're thinking, that's the way I want to go. That's fine. But have you considered it? Have you opened your eyes to see what it causes? Amen? Just consider all these things. Amen? Consider the life, the house that you're building for yourself. We all build a house that we live in. You've heard the expression, you made your bed and you're going to lie in it. The reality is we build our house, don't we? But we determine the house we build. We determine the materials. We determine who we invite into our house. We determine that. We determine everything. This is the good news about the opportunity you have. You have great freedom to build the house you want to build, that you want to live in. But you would do well to wisely consider every aspect of it by the Word of God. That's what this passage is really stressing and encouraging us to do. The righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked. Why do I have to consider the house of the wicked? Because that's what we're prone to. We are prone to go down those wicked ways. That's why. So consider where it ends and determine today, I ain't going that route. I'm going to go the right route by the Word of God. Amen. Because He's shown me that's what He has for me. That's what He made me to be, as righteous. And I believe Him, and I'm going to follow that for my life, for His glory and for my good. Amen. God, thank you for today. And I pray, dear God, if nothing else, through this message, we've just been encouraged to wisely consider what's going on around us, wisely consider the directions of our life prior to taking those. Help us to wisely consider everything before we go down a path. Help us to seek wise counsel. Help us to dig into the Word of God. Help us to be open to every avenue, every aspect, every angle, every perspective. God, help us, Lord, to go into things with our eyes open, our spiritual eyes open. Lord, if we're born again, you've given us the ability to see every angle of something by your eyes through your word. Help us, dear God, in this room, every one of us, from the youngest to the oldest, God, help us to wisely consider these things so that we don't find ourselves in a place that you've warned us and you've told us not to be. Help us now with this, I pray, and we'll thank you, God, for what you do in Jesus' name.
You have been listening to an audio message from McGregor Road Baptist Church. We are located on the southeast side of Indianapolis, Indiana. To learn more about our church, visit www.actonschurch.com. You can also call us at 317-862-3414. Thank you for listening, and may God richly bless you as you seek to grow in the Lord.